I was outside taking a walk and soaking up the seasons, it really struck me. As a former farm boy from Nebraska turned suburbanite, I realized that as a farm boy, you're never really out of tune with the seasons. Can you relate to that? Never really out of tune with the seasons. So for example, if you were to be walking around and you came across an image that looked something like this outside, what season would you find yourself in? Fall. So growing up on a family farm in the fall season, and it works like this. See, for a farmer, it's as if you have one foot in the current season, but you also have a foot pointed towards the season that's on the horizon. And maybe you can resonate with that too. So while you're taking in all the foliage with all of its brilliance and color and the leaves that are beginning to fall, as a farmer, you're soaking that in, and you're probably harvesting, and then sometimes it's hard to connect with that, especially when you're surrounded by concrete and asphalt and steel. But if you live close to Solomon Farm like we do, you get to see that. But this time of year, farmers are probably wrapping up their harvest, and if not, as soon as the snow falls, they're about to have some frosted flakes. So last call for harvest. But while you're harvesting, the point is this, while you're harvesting, you're engaged in that with all of your energy, with all of your efforts, with all of your time. But you also have a glance towards the future, towards the next season, and what you need to do to get ready for that season. So, for example, if you walked outside in the morning and you saw this, what season would you find yourself in? Winter. And I know, and I had to give you an image today because it's December, but we don't see any of that. I got to be careful what I say because we certainly, well, anyway, maybe you want it, maybe you don't. But in fall, you're starting to prepare for winter. You're starting to winterize your pipes and your water lines. You're trying to get excess water out of things that shouldn't have water. And otherwise, when it freezes, well, that thing might not be there, or it might have expanded, much to your disapproval. You're getting your machinery and your equipment ready for winter. You're getting your livestock and your animals to a place that's going to be suitable for the tough, cold, bitter winter months. So you find yourself in the winter season, but while you're in this season and while you're working and while you're trying to stay warm and while you're bundling up, I know you have to use your imagination because once again, it's probably 60 degrees outside today, but use your imagination. As you're bundling up to survive this season, you're also anticipating what's coming around the corner. And if you were to wake up and go outside and you were to see images like this, what season would you find yourself in? Springtime, right? Any fellow allergy sufferers out there? Yeah, you know when spring has sprung, right? And you can tell because you see a mad dash to Walgreens, CVS, all the pharmacies. Give me your Claritin, your Allegra D, your, and the list goes on. While you're in the winter season, you're also thinking about this season that's rapidly approaching. And if you're a farmer, you're starting to think about what fields you have, what pasture ground you have, what crops you're going to plant for the year, where you're going to plant them, do you need to rotate your fields and so forth, and the animals, what to do about the animals once it warms up, because they want to get outside, just like people do. You've had enough of winter. It's cold. The hours are not as long as they should when it comes to daylight, and you are ready to get outside. Well, when spring comes and you're engaged in spring, you're starting to think about the next season. And if you were to walk outside and take in the sights and you see this, what season would you be in? Summertime. No need to worry about staying cool or hot. Now you got to worry about staying cool. One foot in the season, but also one foot anticipating what's coming next. You ever been in a place in life where that was the case for you? Farmers are always called to be in tune with the seasons. I learned that pretty quickly growing up on a family farm. And for those of you who had some kind of rural or agricultural background, maybe that's been your experience too. But I share that with you this morning to illustrate this point. Because it's not just farmers who are called to be in tune with the seasons. Christians are called to be in tune with the seasons as well. To have one foot firmly planted in the here and the now, but to have one foot that anticipates what God is going to do next for you through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. now in the season of Advent, and once again, this is a really great season to prepare our hearts and our minds for Christ's second coming. And maybe over the years, as you've heard that phrase thrown around in a number of different circles, a number of different places, a number of different ways, particularly on the media, and all the things that accompany Christ's second coming, some of the things that accompany that are these doom and gloom scenarios. And there are a number of different venues, a number of different channels, a number of different stations that want to help you and me prepare for Christ's second coming or the end of the world. And maybe you've caught shows like this as well. These shows that tell you and I how we need to be preparing for the end of the world or Christ's second coming. These doomsday prepper programs that tell you and me, boy, if you want to really be ready for Christ's second coming or the end of the world, here's what you need to do. You need to find someone that makes a big metal box, you need to dig a big hole, put it in the ground, stock it with all your favorite must-need items like Twinkies, Ho-Hos, sugar, right, the basics, and you got to ride it out. But is that really what God is calling his people to do in terms of getting ready for the next season when Christ comes? In addition, I've also heard some of this, and maybe you have too. Well, if the end is coming, I got to live it up. I got to do what I want. I got to do stuff that makes me feel happy, makes me feel good. Don't tell me I can't do what makes me feel good because, you know, God's coming and I got to be ready. I got to live it up. Got to do what I want, when I want, where I want, with whoever I want. But I wonder if that's really what it means to be ready in this season for Jesus' second coming. Maybe in addition to all that, you've also seen some predictions. That is, words of encouragement or billboards such as this that want you to pinpoint the exact day, time, and location of Jesus' return. For example, in this, apparently it was May 21st, 2011. I guess I missed the chariot. But once again, I wonder if that's really what God intends for us as his people when it comes to being ready for the return of Jesus Christ a second time. In Luke chapter 24, our gospel reading today, we hear straight from God's mouth to your heart and my heart what it means for Christians to be ready for Jesus' return. Before we get to that, what we need to know about this chapter of Luke chapter 21 is just this. There are a couple of things that are going on, and they happen really subtly as Jesus shares with his disciples. For example, in verses 5 to 24, Jesus is playing up for his disciples and for you and for me the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Let me share this with you. Let's pick it up at verse 20. Jesus said this, "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. And let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Sounds like pretty tough stuff. You know, Jesus and the disciples are just walking along and they're pointing out, "Jesus, what a great temple over there, right? This is great stuff." And Jesus says, "Well, time out." You've been told that when there's a war and the battle's raging, the last place you want to be is out in the open, outside the city. But I tell you, when this time comes, the last place you want to be is Jerusalem. Because the people here, the religious elites, they have rejected God's Messiah, Jesus, and the time has come for judgment. So when this time comes, do not stay in the city. Now, a subtle change there happens pretty fast. And we see it in verse 25. And this is what Jesus shares with us about his second coming. He says this, verse 25, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what's coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, maybe you've seen a doom and gloom movie. You ever seen one of those? Yeah, where it's the end of the world that's being played up, and there's usually something big and heavy that's coming down on the earth, about to crash into things, knock out your local Starbucks, right, your Kroger's. It's getting hot, it gets windy, the water's about to pick up, and I know you live in Fort Wayne, but just, you know, water's far away, right, oceans. And we see these movies, and the theme of all these is be afraid, get scared, get terrified. And we see a lot of that recorded for us in Luke chapter 21, don't we? Heavenly bodies being shaken, things falling down, a whole lot of shaking going on. But I don't know if you caught the message of hope that's there for you and me today. What Jesus shares with us today about his second coming, about what it looks like to live in the here and the now, but to keep one foot that's anticipating the next season. When it looks and it feels like everything is falling apart, hope rises in God's people. When it looks and it feels like everything is falling apart, hope rises in God's people. Let me ask you, is there a place in your life where it feels like things are falling apart? Where things are starting to shake a little bit? Or maybe they've been shaking for quite some time and you're tired of the motion sickness? And maybe it's not the sun, the moon, and the stars that are falling down, but maybe it's a bill statement. Or maybe it's some heavy news that has fallen across your lap and your table this week. Maybe it's a phone call or a message you didn't expect. Maybe it was a conversation or a conflict you didn't see coming. And right now, for you, the last thing you feel is stability. And it feels like everything is shaking. Forget about the sun, forget about the moon, forget about the stars, forget about all the seismic activity like what just happened in Delaware not recently. Forget about all that, because for you right now, things are shaking. And you're wondering what's going to happen next. What can you expect? And God's word for you is this: you can expect hope. Because the God who remembered his people through Jesus Christ is the same God who remembers his people today in Jesus Christ. Where do you need to hear that today? Mark, one of these early Christ followers, a guy who studied with Peter, one of Jesus' hand-chosen disciples, records this for us as well about this event. He says, at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. If you're wondering if there's a place that you can slip to that God cannot see you, then let hope rise, because God knows. If there's a place where you feel like life has swept you away like a big wave of the ocean or one of the Great Lakes, and you feel like no one or no thing can reach you there, then let hope arise. God finds his people anywhere. If you were with us this morning as we begin our new Bible study, our adult Bible class, then you heard about our discussion with Joseph, about a guy who knows all about what it means to get thrown into a place by family, and to be left and abandoned and deserted, and to be in a place of wondering, could God reach down into my pit and pull me out? Whether you were there this morning or you weren't, let me share this with you. Even in a pit, hope rises. Because God is always with his people, and he's always with you. Mark plays this out for us as well. And once again, this idea of being in this season, but also anticipating. This is what Mark shares with us. Hope rises as God remembers his faithful ones, you and me, and promises to bring them home. So fear not. God's promise to you and to me in Jesus Christ. Let me share this with you, and we'll wrap up on this. And once again, I'd like for you to listen in for what St. Luke shares with us in his gospel reading, Jesus' words about what it means to live in this season, but to also anticipate the next season that's coming. He says this in terms of what it means to wait. What does it look like to wait? If it's not being a doomsday prepper with a gas mask, a metal bunker, and a lifetime supply of Twinkies and sugar, if it doesn't mean that, and it doesn't mean to look for billboards that have the date picked out for us, and it doesn't mean something else that's a little obscure or maybe unhealthy in terms of doing what we want, when we want, with who we want, where we want, that's maybe toxic. If it's none of those, then what is it? Jesus shares with us. Let me share this with you. Verse 34, he says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. In that day, Jesus' second return, that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. You know, I wonder sometimes, as I prepare for our time together and worship on Sundays, and as I spend time talking with you, whether it's in my office or on the phone or via email, or maybe as we meet for dinner or go out for coffee, I wonder sometimes what's been pouring into your life. And I wonder who's been pouring into your life. And I wonder what kind of stuff has been poured into your life. And I wonder what kind of things people have been trying to pour into your life. And I wonder if Jesus' words here, maybe they resonate with you and me this morning. Because just like with Jesus' really disciples and God's people throughout time, maybe God's people today still find themselves on the receiving end of other things and other people who like to dump stuff into our lives, stuff that we don't want. But when it's dumped in, it is hard to get out. God, out of love for us today, reminds us that he has something much, much more to fill our buckets with in your lives and my life with, and that's his hope. And this is what he encourages us to do, to be faithful, to guard your heart. Is there something that's vying for the prime real estate of your heart right now? Is it something? Is it someone? Where does your heart need to be guarded today? We also hear this in terms of what it means to wait for this next season, to pray, to engage your ministry, that place that God has called you in life to share the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Where is that place for you? And finally, what it means to wait is just this, to have hope. Because God has promised to return for you and for me. He's promised to bring us home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we wait. And we wait with hope. Throughout our day and throughout our week and throughout our schedule, we encounter a lot of different things. We encounter a lot of people. We encounter a lot of different agendas. And there are a lot of different things that are trying to fill up the prime real estate of our hearts and our minds. Sometimes with the result that we lose sight of you. We lose sight of the promise. And we loosen our grip on the hope. But Father, today we come before you as your children, asking that you would continue to fill us up with your hope. We pray that this day hope would rise in our hearts and our minds as we recall your promise that Jesus will come again. That in the meantime, you continue to stand with us and you bless us with things such as grace, in your people, the church, people who stand with us throughout these seasons of life. So, Father, we pray today that you would continue to shape us and mold us to be a people of hope. We pray that you would allow, once again, hope to rise in our hearts and our minds and in our lives, that hope would spill out into our places of work, our schools, and those places we go, so that when people encounter us, they encounter you. Let hope arise. Through Jesus, we pray. Amen.